Turn, if you will, in your Bibles today to John chapter 6, verses 60 to 71.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
So today we're going to talk about consider what is said. And we had a... we read the scriptures earlier, and we hear that they were having trouble with the things that Jesus had said earlier. And in particular, that would have been in John 6 and verse 57. It says, "And the living Father has sent me. I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Now, if we think about that, that is kind of odd, right? It's kind of different. And so you can understand where his disciples would say, when they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And so the disciples had the words ringing in their ears, but they did not know how to apply it. Once again, they're locked in the world of the physical and not fully aware of the spiritual dimension of Jesus' training. So Jesus was talking about the need to be born again. That was a spiritual birth, right? But the automatic assumption by Nicodemus was he's talking about a physical birth. Here that he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and they think physical, but in all reality, Jesus was talking about a spiritual application where the eating and drinking is more a matter of putting faith and trust that will sustain their life like bread and water does a physical life. And so they were having trouble with this. And note that the disciples wanted to hear it in their soul and apply it, yet they could not figure out how. Do you ever find that true to be in your life? That you sit down and you read the word and you say, you know, that is really interesting, but how do I apply it to my life? And that's because so often what happens is we take the words of the scripture and we say, I see the physical world, I see the physical world, how do I apply it to me? And you know, there is a very blessed fact for everyone who has been born again in regards to that. God has placed his Holy Spirit in us. He is to be our teacher, he's to be our comforter, he's to be our guide in all of life. So what do we do? We run into these things that are hard sayings. We don't know how to understand them. We go to the Lord Jesus. We go to the Holy Spirit that's within us and say, Lord, teach me what I need to know about this. Now, here's the secret. I imagine if you're like me, and I assume that we're all kind of normal. I know you don't want to be totally like me. I don't blame you. But, you know, we think in similar processes because we're all humans. So I can only comprehend maybe a little bit of the truth of that scripture. But am I going to take that little bit of the truth of the scripture, that hard saying, and apply it, that little bit, to my life? I'm afraid that so often what happens with us is we want the whole thing. Lord, give me the whole thing. And he says, if I gave you the whole thing, your brain would pop. Just take a little thing. And so here's this hard saying that the disciples have to learn on. And it says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at them, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And so the first thing we see is that the reminder that Jesus knows all things. Even Jesus, as he walked on the physical earth, as he was limited to a physical body, he knew everything the disciples were thinking. He maybe could even look over and see them go, what does that mean? You know. And so he says, you know, does this offend you? Because you can't understand it. And think about that. Think about that truth when it comes to God giving us a hard saying. This morning, we talked about something that I think is going to even get worse next week in Sunday school. When we talk about the fact that God has appointed men to be leaders and women aren't to be. And in today's society, that is a hard saying, is it not? It's contrary to what we're being taught. I mean, I believe that women are 100% equal to men. That intellectually and everything, they are capable. But in God's design, he has designed the man to be the head of the household, to be a leader. And so those are hard sayings. But what happens to a lot of people is those hard sayings, we come up to them and we say, oh, I don't want anything to do with that church. It's teaching them for this. I don't like that. And so we get this attitude that we're offended by the truth of the scriptures. The disciples had an opportunity right then and there to say, I don't understand this. I'll take a little bit more time to digest it.
or they would say, that's nonsense. I give up. And we see, if we look in the scriptures, look at what it says. So what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?
Now, when I read that, I go, wow, that's kind of weird. What is he talking about that? What is he talking? Why does he say that particular phrase in the midst of them trying to understand this hard saying? He says, what if you see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? Then how would you react? Then would you be offended? I mean, think about it. If we go to Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we read, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood with them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So if that were to happen right then and right there, when the disciples were wrestling with this difficult saying, how would they respond to Jesus at that time? They wouldn't say, this is a hard saying. Oh, I don't like this. They'd say, oh, Lord, take me with you, wouldn't you? I mean, if the rapture were to happen, anybody can argue and say, don't take me? It's not a convenient time? No, we're going to want to go. And so this is the because we don't understand it doesn't minimize the fact that it's truth. Because we don't understand it doesn't minimize our responsibility to believe in it. Because it's something that we can't understand in our physical world does not relieve us of the responsibility of responding to it. And he goes on and he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So, here's this physical saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood and you shall have the bread of heaven. And that's a hard saying. We don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to understand it. What is Jesus saying? He says these words are spirit. They're not meant to be understood by our physical world. This is a spiritual issue. And if we have a spiritual issue, then we need to have the Spirit of God quicken us. What does that mean? Make us go faster? In a sense that it helps us to better understand the truth of the scriptures. Okay, so it moves us faster in that direction of understanding the truth of the scripture, right? And it gives us life, because when we begin to understand the spiritual truth behind the physical words, then they begin to help us to have greater endurance, greater tolerance, show greater love, and those things begin to work in us. But they all start out as hard sayings. I mean, okay, stop. How many of you have ever had a piece of scripture that you did not understand? Hands up all over the place. Right? Do we just quit? No. We need to sit and we need to say, Lord Jesus, help me to understand this. And like I said before, he's going to shine the light on one little circle and he's going to say, this is what I want you to work on in your life. And you say, but I don't understand all the rest of the verse, all the rest of the words. What does that mean? In due time, if we faint not, God will reveal even that to us. He quickens us. He moves us along. Doesn't mean he gives us the answer right away, but he moves us along the path of understanding. We are in an instant society, and I'll use this as a warning, because right now, I am considering that after revival meetings, I'm going to drop our series on the Gospel of John, temporarily, and I'm going to start onto a series on patience. Because I believe that one of the greatest ills we have in our society today is a lack of patience. And, you know, you're just thinking of the very top layer of that word. You don't see all the ramifications in all the areas in our lives that this filters down into. And I believe it is truly the plague of our society. It's not people running around and creating, you know, these mass murders or mass whatever shootings. That's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is not our government. The biggest problem is not our children rebelling. The biggest problem is that we do not have patience. And we're going to talk about how the world is continuing to push us away from patience and into instant gratification. And so anyhow, there is a hard saying.
But we're only going to be able to discover it one piece at a time, little by little. And I'll do my little song, little by little, inch by inch, by the yard it's hard, by the inch what it's inch. Anyhow, one of my favorite songs. We sang it to our kids all the time. And that still is so applicable. I guess that's why I love it so much. So bear with me. I know. It is a matter of interfaith, decision, motivations. We look for fleshly comforts and explanations instead of seeing where God wants us to focus our attention on our spiritual growth and dependence on Him. When I say spiritual growth, I'm not talking about your involvement in this physical church. I'm talking about your involvement with the God of this universe. I'm talking about your relationship, your communication, your emotions being tied to the God who has created this world, who has created the gift of salvation, who has left us His book, who has allowed us to be here. It is that spiritual growth that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you growing in the amount that you give. I'm not talking about the growing in the amount of time you dedicate to this, that, and the other thing. I'm talking about you growing in your understanding of God and His plans for you in every single aspect of life. You know that thing you're thinking about buying? God wants to be involved in that decision too. God cares deeply for everything in our lives. Yet there are these hard sayings that we have a hard time believing. And that's what we see when we read verses 64 through 66, where it says, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except that were given to him of my Father." And in John 6:66, it says, "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." And if you go into the book of Revelation, you're going to see that the number of man is 666. Now, I don't believe the numbering in the scriptures is inspired. But I also don't think it's any coincidence that there in John 66, we have the summary of what is the number of man. The person who is an unbeliever is somebody who walks no more with Jesus. And so we go back and we take a look at, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning that they were who they were that believed not and who should betray Him." Number one, we see that Jesus here is reminding us that He is God. He knows all things. And here's another thing. Now, this one is even harder to understand. And this is a harder saying than "eat my blood and drink," or "eat my body and drink my blood." Is that God knew that some would not believe. But God wants everyone to believe everywhere, right? But God knows the condition of the human heart. God knows the condition, and some people, no matter how bad you want them to be saved, no matter how much you put pressure on them, no matter how solid of an explanation you get them to, no matter how many times you get them to say yes, 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 they will not believe. The best illustration I have is one that I personally was able to encounter with. I was working with a young man, and we had the opportunity to commute back and forth. And one day this was a ministry contact that I had when I was in Washington State. And the young man says, "Well, I'm a warlock." Okay? Which means he's a male whip. Okay? In case you don't know what warlock means. And so he says, "But you know, I really appreciate your testimony." And so we had opportunity to talk to him. And I talked to him about the fact that Jesus died for his sins. And he says, "I can believe that." And I talked to him about the fact that Jesus was rose again to give him new life. And he says, "Yeah." And I says, "And this is something what you want in your life, yes?" And I said, "Well, will you pray with me?" "No." I said, "But why?" And so we went through it again. We went through all the excuses and all the discussion three times, and yet he would not believe. My friends, it is a mystery to me. It is something only known to the heart of God. Why some people will believe and some people will not. And most of them are get stuck on hard sayings. They will not allow the Spirit of God to reveal to them the truth that God is confronting them with. They harden their hearts off, and therefore they never received Christ as their Savior. And it's those people who no longer follow after Jesus. You see, hard sayings are a very, very real problem. We have them all over the place. People are always saying, I don't understand the scriptures. I don't know why the Bible says this. Why does it teach this? And they're hard sayings. We don't like them, so we reject them. And in rejecting them, we reject the Savior. But I'm pleading with you this morning, believing that most of you are truly born again, that you need to keep your hearts open and you need to say, yes, there are difficult things in the truth of the scriptures. There's things I can't even explain to you. I can't explain to myself. I don't have why God chooses some and not others. I don't understand that. I don't understand how he can do that or why he can do that. But I know the scriptures tell me, so I have to believe that. But I could go and say, I can't understand that. I don't believe it. Toodles. Bye. I'm out of here. And that's what we need to avoid. That's what we need to avoid. If you do not understand something, don't give up on God. Ask God to come closer to you. He may have taken a loved one from you. And you want to know, why did God leave me here? Why am I left all alone? I guarantee you one thing, that one of the reasons he allowed that to happen is so that you will turn to him. So that you will allow your, and there's a whole lot more to it than that. But those are difficult events. Those are difficult sayings. Those are hard things to understand. And we need to understand that God uses difficult words to draw us closer. You ever have a fight with somebody? Get in a verbal tiff? Say some things that you wish you hadn't? And yet, if you will stick to it and follow that all the way through, you will find that that relationship is better, stronger, sweeter than ever before. In case you don't know, my wife and I don't get along all the time. We have arguments.
No.
And you can imagine putting up with me, that'd be something to argue with. I would agree with that, right? But I would look back and I would say, doing some quick calculations now, 47 years ago, 46 and 3/4, 7/8, something like that, 47 years ago, it's coming up, okay? It's only gotten better. I know her more. I know all her flaws more, but I also have learned to appreciate all her talents. And now I think that this tifting that we have had and the hanging on to the tifting has made it all better. How much more when we get in a tiff with God over his hard sayings and we work it out with God? You know, God's not going to drop you because you say, God, I don't like what you said there. As long as you say, God, get out of here. Don't say, God, get out of here. Say, God, I have a hard time with what you're saying. I don't even necessarily like it. But allow him the time to work. Allow the time for the Holy Spirit to quicken that truth into your heart and life and to develop that understanding, that little itty-bitty understanding. Because now, I mean, there were times in my relationship with my wife that I despised her. And those very things that I despised at that time, now I look at it and I say, wow, what a blessing I have that character of hers persevere, because it's made me a better person. I would hope, I don't know for certain, that it works the other way too. And so, work with hard sayings. Don't allow it to cause you to say, I don't want to believe, I'm going to go the other way like those others went. Don't take the number 666, the number of man. And they turned and they followed him no more. But continue to follow after Jesus and find that explanation. So in John chapter 64, let's see, we did that rejected saying. There are many today sitting in the pews of Bible-believing churches that are only there or mostly there because they want physical relief from all that is wrong with this world.
They want God to change the government. They want God to heal the world of cancer or COVID. They want to see God use their efforts to alleviate the plight of the poor, the addicted, the wayward. They are not looking for God to work on them in their inner part, developing a fruit of the Spirit in their character, finding strength and hope to face every trial that God brings their way. They don't want to wrestle with the difficult sayings. Without a spiritual conversation or a new birth, many that attend church, Bible study, youth group, Sunday school, even those that were baptized will fall away and will walk no more with Him. There needs to be a dependence on Jesus for enlightenment and encouragement. So, in verses 67 through 71, we look at the chosen saying, where Jesus says, "Then Jesus said unto the 12," in verse 67 of John chapter 6, "Will ye also go away? Will you also go away?" My prayer is that none of you will go away because of hard sayings. None of you will go away because your feelings have gotten hurt and you don't understand why they treated you that way, but that you'll cling to Jesus. Then Simon Peter answered, Simon Peter, good old Simon, old peppermint shoes Simon, always putting his foot in his mouth. And so it says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And so here we have Peter saying, "You know what? What's the other choice? We can follow you. We can believe in what you said, though we don't understand it. Or we're stuck without any hope. There is no eternal life in any other way. And one of the things that we need to realize, one of the things you need to realize, one of the things the world needs to realize, is that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go chase Muhammad if you want, but you know what? I can show you his grave. You can go chase Buddha if you want, but you know what? I can show you his grave. I can show you where his body was tombed. You can go and follow anything else, but there's always a tomb. But the only one that there's not a tomb for, that tomb is empty, is the tomb of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And so who else are we going to go to? Who else can give us eternal life? Only Jesus. So just because the saying is hard, don't reject him. Allow it to say, "Lord Jesus, I believe that you can help me to understand this."
Amen.
Little by little.
Amen.
Are you willing to wait on the Lord, to renew your strength, to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not to be weary, to walk and not faint, because you believe He is going to answer the hard questions. He's going to show you the truth of those hard sayings. You see, Peter had the right idea. Who else can we go to? I mean, I may not understand it, I may not even like it, but who else are we going to go to? Where else can you find any hope of eternity and not worry about you failing? Because you know what? Our salvation isn't our work, it's His work. He's the one that draws us onto Himself. And that's what He says in the next passage as we look at that. "Then Jesus answered and said, Have I not chosen you 12? You see, they were chosen by Jesus. And one of you is a devil. Now, I want you to remember that when Jesus first started talking about this whole thing, He was addressing His disciples. And I want to make a distinction here, because you need to realize that at this point in Jesus' ministry, that He has a following of people that are listening to His teachings constantly. They're walking with Him from place to place, and it's numbering about 150 people. Can you imagine a roving congregation of 150 people? Well, think about it. We know that there was at least five or six ladies that were taking care of all the food needs that were there. We have people that were out and they would go out and they would evangelize in the far country and then come back. And so there were 150 disciples, but now He turns and He says to the 12, He says, "You know, you 12 I chose. I came and tapped each one of you on the shoulders and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But out of the 12 that I chose, the 12 that Jesus chose, the 12 that Jesus knows all things, He says, out of those 12, there's one of you that really doesn't believe what Simon Peter believes. You're going to betray me," He says. Now, why would an all-knowing God choose somebody that He knew would betray them? Because He has a plan. This is another hard saying, is it not?
Why would he choose somebody that he knew whose heart was so hardened that when it came right down to it, he would sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, thinking those 30 pieces of silver could help some poor person that would have been helped if they hadn't used the alabaster oil that they had anointed with him? That's a long story all by itself. Look it up. The hard saying, take a look at the scriptures, right? And so, but he says, well, one of you. No. I don't understand that. It's just like I don't understand how God could harden Pharaoh's heart. That's a difficult saying. And because it's difficult, shall I just throw the book out? Shall I throw out the God that wrote the book? Shall I throw out the God that has spoken those words? No. I must believe that he is the only way I can find peace, joy, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, long-suffering, and all the fruit of the Spirit. You see, it comes down to us being willing to put our faith in the God that we trusted for our salvation to give us understanding of those difficult sayings and not worry about them. We need to realize also as we do that there are certain times that Mildred is not going to understand the saying. No matter what she does, no matter how hard she studies, she's not going to come to a full understanding of that. But he might give it to Joe. And therefore, should we argue, well, Joe's a better person? No. Because I imagine we could turn around and we have to find something that Mildred understands and has come to peace with that Joe still wrestles with. We're all in a different place of understanding these difficult sayings. We're all in the process of growing. We need each other. It is our composite understanding of the scriptures. It's our composite agreement on the scriptures that help us to grow as a group and as individuals. Because there are, the Bible is filled with difficult sayings. But we must always come back to that profession. Who else can we go to? Thou art the Son of God. Eternal life is only in you. That is the common denominator that unites us together. Here's something that is going to cause a hard saying. And I guarantee, I will absolutely guarantee that we'll come under attack. We have chosen to honor Judy's decision to be baptized. We've recognized her limitations. And we're not going to take her under the water. And we will be attacked. That's a difficult saying. The scripture says, be baptized. Baptism means immersion. She has to be immersed. But what does God always look for? Heart. Right? And if we hold anything else, then it's legalism. This is a difficult saying. We need to be at peace with it. You need to be at peace with it. I imagine that even amongst the church, there's some people that say, oh, I don't know about that. But we're going, I believe, I feel called to the Lord to do this because she wants to honor Jesus.
Amen.
And so I'm willing to take that risk. Are you willing to take that risk?
Amen. Yes.
Are we willing to wrestle with the difficult issues and allow ourselves to stand unique because we believe this is what the Holy Spirit has taught us? Do you believe the Holy Spirit can teach you?
Yes.
Then let's start digging in and let's stop giving up. Let's stop stopping when we get into numbers and we read all these lists of different people and the number of people and say, why did God put that in the scriptures? Let's believe that he did it for a reason and that we have yet to discover that reason and that we need to have the Holy Spirit to explain to us that reason and then we'll only understand part of that reason, but we have a lifetime to learn. What a glorious journey. What a glorious venture the Lord Jesus has opened up to us by saving us and allowing us to follow him rather than turning away from him. Are you willing to celebrate that gift? Are you willing to embrace that future where the Spirit of God continues to enlighten you about the hard sayings of the Scripture? In John chapter 10, verse 7, it reads this. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let us wait for the door to open. Let us look for the door to understand, and not go stealing away. Not turning our back on what God wants to teach us. It will make a world of difference for each and every one of us. It is all about what you're going to do with the sayings of Jesus, with the truth of Jesus. May I remind you that the words in red or blue in your Bible are no more inspired than the rest of the people in Numbers or the prophecies of Daniel. Just because your Bible has the words of Jesus in red does not mean that they're more inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. And you need to remember this, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You want to make a difference for Christ? You need to stay tuned in the scriptures. You need to be looking for the meanings of those hard sayings. And then study them carefully. Ponder them deeply. Deep in your heart, let their truth dwell. Even if you don't fully understand it, believe it to be God's counsel to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truths of the scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the hard sayings. Thank you for this example that the scripture tells us to turn to you for understanding. And Lord, may today be a day where we begin to not balk because of hard sayings, but begin to pray and to seek the mind of God for understanding little by little and inch by inch. We thank you, Jesus, for this time in your word and for your Holy Spirit's presence amongst us. Now move and help us to solidify our decisions, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn in your hymn books to or up on the screen for Softly and Tenderly. And I want to remind you that Jesus is calling. He's calling you to a place of understanding. He's calling you to a commitment. Every Sunday, every time you read the Word, there's time for a commitment. But it's up to you. And I was, as I was cleaning the church this week, I saw that in the pews there are little blank 3x5 cards. And I thought maybe this is some way that I can help you. If there's a decision that you're making and you feel comfortable pinning it out, pen it out. Hand it to me so I can pray with you in regards to your decisions. If you want to come and make a public profession or a public call for prayer, you can come at this time. That's what the invitation is for. Jesus is softly and tenderly calling you.
only you. Maybe there's that hard saying that you've been rebelling against and that you wouldn't wrestle with. You couldn't understand it, so you didn't want to deal with it, and it's allowed you to drift further from Jesus. Jesus is calling you back. He says, I'm willing to forgive. I'm willing to give you a little better explanation if you'll simply come. He's softly and tenderly. He does not force us. He does not browbeat us. But he tenderly calls us to consider the truth of his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, for this blessing from your word. Lord, for the hard sayings that you throw into our lives that cause us to draw closer to you. And we pray, Lord, that we will truly set our hearts on wrestling and not throwing out those hard sayings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.